It's Odds and End Zones, a podcast feature of MileHighReport.com. From props to parlays to totals and spreads, it's time to sweat it out. Here are your hosts, Ian St. Clair and Adam Malnati.
Adam, it's Raider Week, and it's always Raider Hater Week for us because we are from the tradition of you can lose all your games throughout the regular season, but if you beat the Raiders twice, then it's still okay.
Success.
But there's added spice with the rivalry now that Josh McDaniels is now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, who are 0-3, could not have a better start with a complete douche of a head coach.
Yep. You know my hatred for McDouchebag. I feel just fine in saying that and calling him that. McHoodie Jr. Here's the thing, and I'm just going to rant now. I'll just start with it. You cannot convince me that Bill Belichick didn't send him to subvert the Denver Broncos, to take down the franchise and ruin them so that the Patriots wouldn't have to deal with the rise of the Denver Broncos. He was that afraid of Mike Shanahan. He was that afraid of what he had built. He was that afraid of what Jay Cutler could become. And so what happens, and we all know Jay Cutler wasn't going to become anything. Let me just jump in there and pull myself back a touch. But Josh McDaniels' job was to ruin the Denver Broncos. And you can't convince me that's not the job of all of Bill Belichick's assistants, as most of them go and fail somewhere. So I can't stand him. And if he's doing it to the Raiders, that's fine. I guess I won't complain.
I will say this. Josh McDaniels did lead to Peyton Manning. So
I know. You know what? Don't take a dump on my hatred. Come on. Just let me hate the guy. Just let me hate him.
It's that backdrop that brings us into the Week 4 game in the giant Roomba in the desert with Lloyd Christmas as the owner and a giant douche for a head coach and a quarterback that wears too much mascara.
Very dark, very dark, very emo. It's very emo. And I guess it works, right? It matches his uniform, I suppose. Raider Week is one that I can always get excited for. It's tricky from the fantasy football perspective, and the reason I say that is because I am a Devontae Adams owner. As far as that goes, he's on my team, and I want him to do well.
It's going to be a rough week for Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I am strongly considering sitting him down. Patrick Surtain is going to lock him up. He's that good. So I'm probably going to you can't sit him. He's one of those ends to starts, no matter who they play, guys. But I hope he fails miserably. I'm one of those people that will always root for my team over my fantasy football team. I don't do it as much with like actual gambling. I don't know why it's different for fantasy. Like, I still got money on the line. It's just different, I guess. I don't know. But it is an interesting week in that we're talking about a Denver Broncos team that's 2-1, top of the division, coming off what I would say are two wins in a row that felt a little bit like losses.
Which doesn't make any sense, because they beat a team nobody thought they would beat.
Well, nobody thought they would beat them because of their performance against both the Seahawks and the Texans. And so beating San Francisco was huge. But I have no problem with pundits looking at that and going, yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence in this team. And it wasn't like they came out against San Francisco and instilled even more confidence. There were moments. That last drive, Russell Wilson finally kind of became Russell Wilson and orchestrated some things, but it's still not quite there. Now, we talked last week about not hitting the panic button. I'm still there. Don't hit the panic button yet. But if this...
It's not even in my vicinity. Really?
I'm in your vicinity, so I guess it is. But it's... but not by choice, right? It's there, but it's because of me. I'm not thinking about hitting the panic button now. If they come into week 6 or 7 and they still look this inept on offense, I think you have to start going, wait a minute, this is bad. This is This is worse than the cringy videos that Russell Wilson creates all the time. And they are bad and cringy. And they're our cringy now, I guess, but they're still cringy. That Subway one just has me. I'm like, come on, dude.
You mentioned the fact that there's not a lot of buy-in to the Broncos. And since we're a betting show, you can look at the odds for this game. The Raiders are 0-3, yet they're a -2.5 favorite. That's entirely because of the Broncos offense. Because if this was about the Broncos defense, the Raiders offense is not going to do anything on Sunday. It's not going to do anything. They just shut down the best rushing attack in the National Football League. I have no problem saying that Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers have the best running game in the National Football League. And they were held to 88 yards on the ground, most of which came on two carries, one of which was a hold that wasn't called. The long run by Jeff Wilson that led to the only touchdown by the 49ers, which, by the way, was also an offensive pass interference. So two rushes give you basically 88 yards. The Raiders are not going to be able to do anything. Their offensive line is terrible. They have no weapons aside from Devontae Adams. And their defense is what I think is going to be the perfect recipe to get Russell Wilson and the Broncos offense to build off of that drive you just mentioned.
Well, and you bring up a good point about this is a good time for them to get, I don't want to call it healthy, but it's a good time for them to sort of find their stride. And you mentioned a tweet that Benjamin Albright sent out about the stats for the stats for Aaron Rodgers in Nathaniel Hackett's offense for the first few games or whatever. And through the first three games, his stats were not great. And if you look at his stats compared to what Russell Wilson has done, very similar, almost identical.
I have it right here. In 2019, Aaron Rodgers' first three games, he went 57 of 93 passing, 62.1% for 647 yards, four touchdowns, and seven sacks. Russell Wilson's first three games, 63 for 106 passing for 743 yards, two touchdowns, and nine sacks.
I mean, it says it right there. It definitely gives you, I don't want to call it hope, but it gives you an example of how long it seems to take guys like Russell Wilson, guys like Aaron Rodgers, to feel comfortable in this offense. And I would also assume it's not just the quarterback. You've got offensive linemen who have to adjust. You've got wide receivers that have to adjust. You've got running backs that have to adjust. So there are several things that have to happen. We kind of want to put everything on the quarterback because it's a quarterback-driven league. And as a quarterback-driven league, that's where we go when things don't go well. But at the same time, and this is the fan perspective of it, Russell Wilson was brought in to make this team better. And I think that the biggest concern for most fans is that we haven't seen that yet. And we all expected it right away. And I keep going back to the hype videos and how excited we all were. And everybody wants to watch all those hype videos. The hype videos don't do anything for the regular season. They just make us feel excited about the team again, which is great. But now here we are sitting at 2-1 and an iffy 2-1 at that, perhaps a Jimmy Garoppolo stepping out of the back of the end zone mistake away from not being 2-1, although that was going to be a pick six if he did get the throw off. It just doesn't feel as exciting as we wanted it to as fans. It doesn't mean they're not 2-1. It doesn't mean they're not sitting at the top of the division. And it doesn't mean they don't have a chance to go find it on offense against their most hated rival.
If you are looking at the Denver Broncos, and you're not excited because they're not putting up Tecmo Bowl numbers, that's a you problem. That's not a Broncos problem. The Broncos care about wins. They're 2-1. That's what matters. Can they get better? Absolutely. Are there areas of improvement for this team? Absolutely. Do they have one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in football right now? 100%. So I guess it's depending on how you look at it. I mean, what I can't get over is the Raiders are 0-3 and they're a favorite. I cannot wrap my head around that. I don't get it. I've watched the Raiders. They're not good. They are not good. The Broncos should win this game, and they should win it handily because the Raiders aren't good. I just listed a couple minutes ago all the problems with this team, not including head coach. So, I mean, and we'll see. I've seen some people say this could be a trap game. I don't see it because Russell Wilson and the Broncos hear all of this, even if they don't admit it. They're going to want to come out and show, yeah, we are one of the best teams in the AFC.
So I agree with you. They can be, I think, one of the best offenses in the NFL. The issue that we've run into is they haven't shown it yet. And statistically, they're not quite there. So it's something that, and I know you sort of have already said, you know, the fans, if the fans don't like it, that's a fan problem. I'm a fan. I don't like it. So it is a me problem in a way. But it's frustrating to see them still not quite there. But I do agree that they have the potential to be one of the best offenses in the NFL.
And I mentioned a couple of times now that I can't wrap my head around how an 0-3 team is a favorite. There's a stat that I put in the game preview at milehighreport.com that published on Wednesday. And to give you an idea of how much of a surprise it is, since 1989, only 35 teams have been winless in game number 4 and a favorite of 2 points or more. Those teams have gone 11-23-1 against the spread and 14-21 straight up.
So it's not likely, just based off the numbers, that the 0-3 team walks away as the 1-3 team. That's an interesting way to look at it. You know what I'd be curious to know, and I don't expect us to do a deep dive into this, and Joe Mahoney's not here to do it for us either. I'd be curious to know what the record of the other team was going into that game as well. Because as you know, all of the stats and everything that we look at, there's two sides to that coin, right? There's two things that are going on there. You have the 0-3 team, and you have the whatever the other team was. Were they both 0-3? Was one of them 1-2? Was one of them 2-1? Was one of them 3-0? Like, what was the sort of the rest of the story there? So I like your stat because I like what it points towards for the Denver Broncos, a potential victory. But I do wonder, what's the rest of the story on that? What were the other teams like? And I don't expect us to do a deep dive into that. That's a Joe Mahoney area. So we'll let Joe do that at some point. Or we won't. We'll just ignore it and move on. But it's not terrible. Not terrible to think of that. So let's get into the game. Let's get into talking about what's going to happen with the Broncos and Raiders on Sunday in the old Las Vegas Toilet Bowl. It looks like a toilet bowl. I keep saying it. I know Roomba is the popular one, but I mean, look at the shape. It looks like there's a lid you could lift. Like, somebody's going to have to piss in there, and I hope it's the Broncos. So let's jump into the keys to the game. You want to give us your key to the game? Mine's just a dead horse thing, so we'll go with yours first.
My key to the game ties into why I think odds makers have the Broncos as the underdog, and it's because they don't believe in the offense, which is fascinating when you look at the 0-3 Raiders. I'm going to continue to beat that dead horse. I don't understand it. My key to the game is let Russ cook. We saw, you mentioned it earlier, we saw vintage Russ on that game-winning drive where he was able to make things happen with his feet. He audibled to a great pass and a call to Cortland Sutton. So do that. Whatever they did on that drive, and even Chris Collinsworth mentioned it on the broadcast, whatever they did on that drive, watch it and recreate it and build off of it.
Just copy what you've done in the past that has worked. That's a great moniker for success. I like that. My key to the game, I guess, kind of plays off of that. And it's, again, it's just sort of the same thing. I just want them to continue to feed Javonte Williams. I don't know why he isn't just the guy. And I understand that you have Melvin Gordon, and in certain situations, Melvin Gordon has been great, but he's also someone who puts the ball on the ground more often than I'd like. I do know that, and I saw Mace tweeted this out, Andrew Mason tweeted out that inside the red zone, He's more Melvin Gordon has more success. It might have been inside the 5 yard line. He scores like 40 something percent of the time. The average running back scores something like 20% of the time, somewhere in there. And I don't remember what the tweet was. You can certainly go look for it. But it's the sort of the idea that Melvin Gordon inside the red zone is an above average running back. And that's fine. But Javonte Williams is your bell cow. Javonte Williams is the guy that's going to lift the team up and carry them and control the ball and control the clock and make sure that that awesome Denver Broncos defense doesn't have to be on the field more often than is necessary. And the offense can allow Russ to cook, especially if teams have to key on him, have to focus on what Javonte Williams does. So that to me is a big push in helping the offense cure some of its woes. And I know that I say it almost every week. I kind of just lean on that as my key to the game, but it feels like that's a pretty good one.
The thing I don't understand about what they're doing with the running backs is why is Mike Boone getting reps? It was apparent whenever Mike Boone was on the field on third down, especially, that he was in there to block. That's a tell. That's on Nathaniel Hackett letting the opposing team know, oh, hey, we're throwing it on third down because we have our third string running back who doesn't do anything on the field to block. I have a feeling Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon can block, and it won't be a tell by putting your third string running back on the field on third down. If you want to use Mike Boone, use him on first down. Do a wheel route with him. That's what they did with the Vikings. But what Mike Boone does is what he did on Sunday night when he made that special teams play by downing that punt at the 2 yard line. That's what Mike Boone should be doing on this team, not taking reps away from Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams.
That's an excellent point. And it's interesting because he really does have some value. You're not wrong. He has value for this team, and he can be used in a way that is good for the Broncos. But making choices like that, yeah, making choices like that on offense, that's a bad look. That's definitely not what you want to see from the Broncos. And it's interesting because you talk about tells, you know, the Dan Orlovsky clip of him talking about what was going on in Carolina with the Panthers and where Christian McCaffrey was lining up. That's a similar issue with coaching, where coaches have to recognize the tell and say, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore because that is indicating to everybody what we're doing. Whereas McCaffrey lines up 1 yard behind and it's a pass or something like that, or an RPO. I can't remember what Dan Orlovsky said. He was too busy running through the back of the end zone with Jimmy Garoppolo, dancing and cheering and playing. So I'm not too worried about it, but it's an interesting point to make that when you have a young head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, first time head coach, he's maybe not going to pick up on those things on his own. So someone should tell him that. Someone should mention it. And I know you mentioned it, so I'm sure he listens. And so I imagine that will all get fixed.
I'm sure Jerry Rosberg mentioned it too.
There you go. Somebody who knows better than he does, apparently. All right, let's jump into our players to watch then. Offense. Should we go offense first?
Let's go off. I'm gonna go boring and Russell Wilson.
Is that 4 weeks in a row? I feel like it might be.
I'm gonna do it until he plays like we all know he can. And I'm sick of this talk about it. Is he washed? No, he's not. He's playing in a new offense with a new coach with new players. It even took Peyton Manning time, and I get it. The circumstances are different. Peyton Manning was coming off a neck surgery that kept him out for a full year. But Aaron Rodgers struggled, as I mentioned earlier, in this exact same offense with an exact same coach. So I this is not just my orange and blue glasses. I think we're going to see vintage Russ on Sunday against the Raiders.
Yeah, I hope so. I think you're probably right. I hope you're right for sure. I'm going to go with a complimentary player to Russ, and that's Courtland Sutton. Sutton has been a stud this season. He's really been the only offensive stud for the Broncos, if you think about it, because he's been the only consistent player. But even he has had some issues. He had a critical drop against San Francisco that I'm not sure people are talking about enough. I know that in the MHR Slack, it's more about Judy's drop on that tipped pass than anything else, which I think is hilarious. But
yeah, because the pass was tipped.
Yeah, it was tipped. I'm not sure what we're doing here, but whatever. I digress on that. But I want to watch Courtland Sutton continue to do what he has been doing for the most part, and that is be that big target for Russ, be his pass interference guy down the field, going for those big plays. I like that they have that, and it seems like they have a good connection. So you're watching Russ, I'm watching Courtland Sutton because I want to see that connection continue. And then just as a sort of an additional one for fun here on offense, I'm really curious to see if Albert O is going to start to round out into a good tight end for the Denver Broncos. I think that was the belief moving into the season that he was going to take the tight end one spot and be really good, and he was going to be a nice security blanket for Russ, and he hasn't been that. And he had a critical drop against San Francisco as well and has not been the weapon that I think we all wanted him to be. And I'm not looking for a Travis Kelce, 30-point fantasy football player type of performance, just a solid tight end performance that the quarterback can look to as a security blanket. And that would be sort of my secondary player to watch on offense.
Two things. Another player that I want to throw out is Quinn Meniere's. It looks like he'll be back at right guard, which I think will be huge because he is so much better than Graham Glasgow. I would like to see Billy Turner, but it sounds like they're based, I don't want to say treating him with kid gloves, but if they're not wearing kid gloves, they're wearing something close to it.
I think
it.
They're wearing Bryce Callahan's pants or something. I don't know what's going on there.
The other thing that I want to see is start testing the field. I don't know if it's because of the defense that the 49ers were playing and Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson weren't prepared for it, but they did not take shots down the field once. They need to do that against the Raiders and use KJ Hamler. You have this guy with speed. Use him.
Has he even had
a
target?
Raiders don't have a good secondary, and two of their top players could potentially be out with Nate Hobbs and Rock Ya-Sin. So, or Sin, whatever. He's a Raider. Who cares? They need to test the secondary. They didn't do it against the 49ers. That's what I would like to see. Like they did against the Seahawks. Like they did somewhat against the Texans. More so against the Seahawks. Go back to that.
Yeah, stretch the field a little bit. I like that. All right, defense.
The Orange Rush. Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb.
Who knew those shirts were going to pay off?
Again.
I mean, it's amazing. They just keep working. I do like that. That's a good one, too, because they've been awesome. And I picked, for my game ball, I picked Bradley Chubb, partly because of the sack that he got. But he spent so much time in the backfield against San Francisco just harassing Jimmy Garoppolo. That's a great choice. I really like that as your players to watch. And I'm a little bit jealous that I didn't think of it beforehand.
Jimmy Garoppolo had Chubb all over him.
He did. And Randy Gregory, which isn't as funny, but works as well. So it's a good one.
Now we're going to see Chubb all over Carr.
Ooh. He'll cry about it. His mascara will run. I'm going to go with Patrick Surtain. He has been incredible this year. It doesn't matter who he's covering. He locked down DK Metcalf. I think he had, was it zero Brandon catches Cooks against him in Houston? And PFF, he did so well, PFF couldn't even give him a grade because they just avoid his side of the field. He is legitimately a lockdown corner that takes away half of the field for you. And as a defense, that's exactly what you want from your cornerback. So I'm just going to watch him perform. I'm going to watch him do great things because he's great. I don't think he even gave up a pass to Debo or something like that, right?
There were six targets to Pat Surtain and not a single catch
on
Sunday night.
Not one.
Not one catch.
I mean, I'm telling you, the kid's special, and I'm happy to say I was wrong about we should have drafted Justin Fields instead of Pat Surtain. I'm not saying we shouldn't have drafted Justin Fields, but I'm happy George Payton drafted Pat Surtain. I think that is fantastic. So PS2, go get him, son. I like it.
Of the defense, they have been incredible the first 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I get it. There are a lot of people saying, well, they haven't played anybody yet. They just played Jimmy Garoppolo. You hold an offense like the San Francisco 49ers to 10 points where you keep in check George Kittle. I mean, can we mention the fact that the Denver Broncos limited George Kittle? The last time these two teams played, George Kittle ate up the Broncos defense. Now, part of that may be that he was coming off of injury, but if he's on the field, he's a threat. That's how good George Kittle is as a tight end. Debo Samuel did nothing on Sunday night. The only touchdown was on a pass interference that should have been called. The Broncos defense has been incredible. You hold a team to 10 points in the National Football League in 2022, you're doing something right.
You know,
and they're doing this without Justin Simmons.
That's what I was going to say. You also have to remember they're missing their leader on the field. They're missing the guy who is essentially the quarterback on the field, the defensive captain, if you will, in Justin Simmons. And I don't know if you saw the tweet, but Justin Simmons, I think, is a little frustrated that he's not out there because he's missing out on being on the field with this historic defense. And so I think he just tweeted out the emoji with the angry emoji. Well, not angry, but you know, what is the one with the nostril?
Frustrated.
Yeah, the frustrated one. There we go. Words are hard sometimes. And so, and I understand the frustration, right? He wants to be a part of it, and that's what you want out of your defensive leaders. So to me, that's a really good one. You got any bold predictions for this game?
Russell Wilson throws 4 touchdowns.
Oh, I like that. I do like that. I can make that fit with my score prediction, I think. So yeah,
I'll throw in a second one.
Sure.
The Broncos get 7 sacks.
Ooh, now that I think is a really bold prediction that I could get behind as well. I have a bold prediction that'll be fun for you. Defensive score, a pick 6.
I like that.
I feel like Derek Carr is going to challenge PS2, and I think Patrick Surtain is going to get himself a little pick 6. I just feel it coming. That actually kind of hurts my score prediction for this, but that's okay. I don't mind. It's okay. I'll still jump in. I'll jump in with my score prediction first as well, and then you can tell me if I'm close to what you've got. I wrote down just now 27-13 Broncos. I think you might be right with your 4 touchdowns. There could be a missed, like, 2-point conversion in there or something. McManus don't miss, but, you know, maybe they go for 2 for fun. Who knows?
So I'm going off the radar with this.
Uh-oh.
So the worst loss in Broncos history, I think it's the worst because I think it's worse than 55-10, was in 2010 against the then Oakland Raiders with Tom Cable as the head coach of the Raiders. And let me scroll down real quick. I think Jamarcus Russell was the quarterback.
I think so.
No, it was Jason Campbell. Mm. So Jason Campbell was the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. I don't think Broncos fans need a reminder about what the score of this game was, but I'm going to say it anyway. 59-14. I hope and pray that Nathaniel Hackett looked at that score and Russell Wilson and they said, 59-14 Broncos.
Ooh, I love that. I love that prediction. I think that is fantastic.
Because the reason it fits is because that game that the Broncos lost came in Denver.
It's hard to argue with that. All right. I have a prop for this game as well. I know we're doing our one prop for Thursday night, but I found an interesting prop that I kind of like for this game as well. And it's 2 props. They kind of go together. So you don't have to find one for the Bronco game. I think I've got it for us. Russell Wilson plus 115 for 1.5 touchdowns or more. So over 1.5 touchdowns, so 2 touchdowns or more, is plus 115. And Derek Carr under 1.5 touchdowns, so 1 touchdown or less, is plus 105. I like a dollar on both of those. Why not? It's double your money. Have some fun with it. And I think they both hit. That's the way I read it.
And the thing that you have is you have positive money on both of them. So I like both of them.
Definitely.
My play on this, it's not a prop. It's the money line. Broncos are plus 120.
So as you said, that's positive money right there, and that's what we're looking for. So, all right, good value on those two bets. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break as we have reached that time. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Thursday night game. We'll do our whip around the league, the AFC West, all that good stuff, and then we'll say go Broncos.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, Ian, let's take a look at the league. We've got some fun stuff going on. We do have our one prop for Thursday night. Why don't we start there? Let's start with our Thursday prop. I have another interesting one that I'm curious what you think of it. So I'm looking at Dolphins-Bengals. That's the Thursday night game. And the Thursday prop that really hit me was you got Dolphins plus 110 for the longest touchdown. And the Bengals are minus 130 for the longest touchdown. And I looked at that, and I'm a little bit surprised that it's not the Dolphins who would have the worse odds, right? You're getting plus money on the Dolphins' longest touchdown with Tyreek Hill as a potential deep threat. If Jaylen Waddle plays, a potential deep threat. And I know part of that is, well, if Teddy Bridgewater's throwing the football, maybe they don't get it that far out. But I look at Tyreek Hill, for example, the cheetah, who is an awful person, and you hit him on the right slant and he's gone. He could score from anywhere on the field. We've seen it as Bronco fans. We know what he can do. And so to me, that doesn't mean that Teddy Bridgewater is necessarily a hindrance. To me, that means that I think that the odds are still the same. And I'm not setting the odds. I'm not an expert. I get all that stuff. And I certainly wasn't an expert on my bets this week when I wasn't even in the top 10. I think I was 35th this week. That's not terrible. It's a respectable number. I think you were 14th, by the way. Nice job. So congrats on that. But I looked at that and I thought, I would have thought they would have been closer together. I mean, one is minus and one is plus. That threw me off a little bit. So I might throw a dollar on the Dolphins for that one just because, again, that's plus money.
You mentioned the reason that it's plus money.
Yes, I do.
Because they don't think Tua Tagovailoa is playing, and we saw enough Teddy Bridgewater that he couldn't hit Tyreek Hill on a slant pattern. So,
well, maybe it's not a full on slant. Maybe he's really close to him. You never know. It's possible.
I mean, the thing that always that you can always play to is, well, even Tim Tebow did it.
Yeah, see, he tried to bounce past it in there. I still to this day think that was a miss on his part. And it worked out for
that's why
it,
that's
why it was such a good pass.
That's why it completed because
he was trying to throw it to the sideline and he hits Demaryius Thomas in stride.
Exactly. My prop. I was one for one on my props last week. I didn't get the Jacoby Brissett interceptions, but I got the Amari Cooper receptions. I'm going to another receptions, but it's a running back. I'm going Joe Mixon over 3.5 catches at plus 115. Now, this is a little bit dicey because in his first three games this season, he's had 7 catches against Pittsburgh, 3 against the Cowboys, 3 against the Jets. Now, the reason I'm going with it is because in all three of those games, he had at least 4 targets. I think he's going to have at least 5 to 6 targets in this game, which would give him 4 catches. So that's why I'm going Joe Mixon over 3.5 catches at plus 115.
Again, plus money. I like that positive money. That's always good. So that's usually what I look for, if you will. All right. Let's take a look at the AFC West. So we've already got, you know, Broncos and Raiders are out of the way. The other AFC West matchups are the Chargers at the Texans, which we sort of talked about a little bit earlier. And then the Chiefs are, and I can't find them all of a sudden.
They're playing the Buccaneers.
Oh, that's right. They're playing Tampa Bay, if you will. I don't think you should, but that's your Sunday night game.
If that game is played in Tampa Bay,
I was going to say, I'm not sure they're going to play. Minnesota. So there are sharks swimming through the streets of Fort Myer because of Hurricane Ian, which is kind of cool. Instead of Sharknado, it's a Sharkacane. Is that what we're going to call it?
Land sharks.
Oh, land sharks. They just get up and walk around, go order a coffee, the nearest coffee shop. So let's come back to that one. Let's take a look at the Chargers. Cause, is it still Chargers season? I'm just curious. Are we still in Chargers season?
It's Charger season, just not the one that everyone thought it was, because it's now Charger injury season.
Ah, you mean just Chargers regular season then? That's just a regular Chargers regular season.
Yeah, that dates back to the 60s. If there isn't a sign that Dean Spanos needs to sell the team, this is it. Like, you move the team from San Diego, screw you. You took away a great vacation spot for the 9th home game for Broncos fans.
Rude.
Now you're in LA in a building that you pay rent to that's not even yours, in a town that no one in your town roots for. And now you're getting injuries. This is the annual, how bad is it going to get? Now they're without Joey Bosa. They're without Rashawn Slater. Justin Herbert is dealing with rib cartilage, and that's not going to go away. Keenan Allen's hurt.
A lot of questions, a lot of issues.
This is a Texans team. They lost two last year, because I told you before we started recording, I remember vividly, because it cost me a parlay.
Yes, it did. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't pick the Chargers this week, because I'm not. I do not see the Chargers winning this game. It's on the road, so it's in Houston. It is not going to go well for them. I think this is a loss for the Chargers, and I know that people are going to kill me if they win, because it's the Chargers and the Texans. But let's not forget that the Texans have played tough most of this. I mean, it's been three games, but they've been tough. They haven't done anything that's got them a full-on win necessarily, but they've played tough. And I think that can be a problem for the Chargers with all of the injuries that they have and the issues that they've got on their team. So, to me, I'm picking the Chargers. It's hard to talk about this Chiefs-Bucks game from the perspective of, is it going to be played? Where will it be played? Weather-wise, we just don't know, right? I think that's a fair thing to say as we sit here and record on Wednesday night. So I'm not really sure how to discuss this game other than, if they were to play it, this is what I think. And what I think is, I don't believe in Tom Brady right now, but I do believe in Patrick Mahomes, and I think the Chiefs can win this game.
The one thing that I will say is, this is the same defense that shut down Patrick Mahomes when they had Tyreek Hill. This defense can play wherever they play this game, and they will shut down this offense. Tom Brady hasn't looked like Tom Brady because he hasn't had any healthy receivers. Against New Orleans, he lost Mike Evans because Mike Evans got into a fight with Marshawn Lattimore. Well, Mike Evans will be back. Julio Jones will potentially be back. Chris Godwin could be back. If they play, Tampa Bay wins this game. If it's two of those guys, Tampa Bay wins this game, because that defense from Tampa Bay is for real. The only reason they didn't beat Green Bay is because Tom Brady had no receivers. He had Russell Gage. He had COVID Beasley.
I knew you were going to say
who that. Who just signed last week. So he legitimately has no receivers.
Yeah.
Without Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Julio Jones.
You know what else he legitimately doesn't have right now that you're forgetting about? Is he doesn't have an offensive line.
That too. Because they're all hurt.
Exactly. And so to me, I'm looking at that. That is, I think, even more scary than them not having the receivers, is that the offensive line is Swiss cheese. It's a colander. It's a sieve. And Tom Brady is not the most mobile of quarterbacks. So I just I just don't buy into it at this point for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I would pick the Chiefs on this one if they play, and who knows where they're going to play or what's going to happen. But I still think the Chiefs can win.
If they don't play in Tampa Bay, it'll be in Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that. That's
the contingency. So
okay. Yeah, come on up to Minnesota.
I have too much that this Todd Bowles defense. He's shut down this offense before. He knows how to shut it down, and the defense is basically what it was in the Super Bowl. And I think if, when you get Mike Evans and Julio Jones and or Chris Godwin back, I think that's enough against this Chiefs defense, because the Chiefs defense is not as good as the Packers. They don't have the players that the Packers do. They have Chris Jones. That's about it.
I guess we'll find out. I like it when we're sort of on opposite sides of things. We'll see who comes out on top. We do have an international game as well that we could talk about, the Vikings and the Saints, which I'll sleep through that. I don't need to watch that one. So I don't know. Are there any games this week that stand out to you that you're looking forward to? I've got one, and I'm sure you're going to say the same thing. So I'll let you say it first.
Ravens-Bills.
Yep, there it is.
Ravens are going to beat the Bills.
That is, you know what? When we talked about the Bills and the Dolphins last week, I said that if the Bills could beat the Dolphins, they might go undefeated. And you brought up the Ravens as the next opponent. You did mention that. And now that the Bills have lost, they're obviously not going to go undefeated. Here's your Captain Obvious statement right there. But at the same time, I think that they are still scary. I'm not sure how I picked this. This, to me, this is a pick'em game. This is a coin flip because the Bills are on the road. Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson again and is essentially winning games by himself. So to me, I don't know how you pick this game. Do you lean towards the home team because they're the home team? Or do you believe that the Bills are going to be angry about a loss that they feel like they should have won, and so they're going to bounce back and they're going to beat up on the Ravens because they looked like garbage in Miami? A lot of problems down there. So I don't really know. I'm stuck on this game. I'm going to watch it for sure, but I am stuck on it as far as what I think is going to happen.
I think the reason I lean Baltimore is Buffalo doesn't have anybody healthy on its defense. And you're going against Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is going to think he knows people are saying Josh Allen, and Lamar's like, hold on a second. I'm still here.
Yeah. It's true. That's probably the funnest game of the weekend, and I'm excited for it. So, like I said, I will definitely be watching that one. And obviously, we'll be watching the Broncos beat up on the Raiders.